Welcome to the Judo Edit podcast, where I chat with judo athletes, coaches, and influential people to bring you a glimpse into the behind the scenes of the international judo circuit. Hopefully, you can find something that will make your judo better. I'm your host, Melissa Budiato, and you will be glad that you clicked on this podcast today because you'll be hearing from Leilani Akiyama and her journey to qualify for the Olympic Games. This is part one of a two-part episode, and we have a lot of fun diving into the pros and cons of training in Japan, being happy whilst training, and why working hard is a trait that you have to practice. So, turn the volume up. Here we go. Welcome to the sixth episode of the Judo Edit podcast. I'm here today with Leilani Akiyama, who's the United States representative at under 57 kilograms. How are you, Leilani?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So we are currently sitting in Japan.
Yes.
Very excited to talk a bit about what it's like to train in Japan. And I suppose Leilani has been on the judo circuit for a long time, so she's got a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
So Leilani, how did you start judo, and what was the sort of thing that hooked you into it?
So I started judo when I was like 6 or 7. We were in Japan, so I started in Japan, but I didn't stay long enough to get, you know, the nice Japanese judo that everyone has here. But my mom actually started my brother in judo because he was being bullied on the playground, and the teachers weren't doing anything, and he was, like, actually, like, a little runt. Like, he was quite smaller than all his classmates, so, like, he was an easy target.
Yeah.
So my mom was like, okay, like, none of the teachers are doing anything, so I'm just gonna put you in, and so that way you can learn how to defend yourself. And so he started doing judo, and I basically followed suit.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, anything my brother's doing, I want to do too.
For sure.
So I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. So I started it and have been doing it ever since.
Uh-huh. So what's the age difference between you and your brother, just for a bit of context?
Just a couple years. He's 2 years older, and he still does judo, actually, in Colorado.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So when you started, you said you were 6 or 7?
Mm-hmm.
You'd have been like 8 or 9?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was better?
I mean, I'm sure he always will beat me up. He was always gonna be the one that, you know, puts me back in my place.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we're kids, like, when we were growing up, we were partners for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had a partner, and he always had a partner, because we were about the same size.
Yeah.
So it worked out really well when we were growing up, and then he, like, hit puberty, and it was like, no more. I could not keep up at all.
Yeah.
Just his strength, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. And so I know we're supposed to be talking mainly about judo on this podcast,
mm-hmm.
but just looking into a bit of your background, I came across a thread that said that you also did wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Those days.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So I used to wrestle in middle school and high school.
Uh-huh.
And back then, it wasn't really separated for girls and boys. So I basically had to wrestle boys growing up in middle school and high school. My mom actually put me into it because she's like, you have to toughen up. You know, you can't, like, let all these girls, like, beat you and, like,
yeah,
put you in your place. You need to be able to stand your ground. So she was like, so you're gonna wrestle the boys. So I started wrestling the boys, and, you know, it really toughened me up, I guess.
Yes.
So I did that through high school, and then I thought about continuing after high school. I had, like, a few offers from colleges, and then the OTC, the Olympic Training Center in Colorado, actually asked me to come out to wrestle for them.
Mm-hmm.
I went for a week, and by the end of the week, I switched to judo, and I never looked back.
Yeah. What was it in that week that sort of, you're like, no, going back to judo?
It's just, judo is my passion, I guess. Yeah. Wrestling is all about, like, brute strength and who's stronger than the other and, like, who can, you know, who has more conditioning than the other person.
Yeah.
But in judo, it's more, like, all technical.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of technique, a lot of, like, the whole minimum effort, maximum efficiency. It's just more beautiful that way.
Yeah.
I think that's what really drew me back in.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm done with wrestling.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like way too tired from wrestling.
Yeah. So, hold on. So you're fighting, you said it was not divided, so you're fighting mm-hmm. boys, but you still got offers for the...
Well, I got offered for the women's team.
But you're obviously doing well against the boys.
Yeah, I did okay. I wouldn't say I did great. I made state, which was the pinnacle for high school.
Yeah.
If you're wrestling for a high school. Mm-hmm. I made state almost every year, maybe not the last year because I bumped up weight. I was going 103 my freshman year, okay. And then 112, and then 112 again my junior year.
Yeah.
And then I went 130 because I was like, I cannot do this anymore.
Yeah. For the listeners there, that's pounds. We're
Sorry. Sorry, that's pounds. 130 pounds.
Yep.
So I bumped up from 112 pounds to 130 pounds mm-hmm. because I did not want to cut weight anymore.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like starting to wrestle like little men.
Yeah.
So I didn't do as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay.
That's a really interesting background though. Like, did you feel that the wrestling helped your judo and like built up your strength for the judo?
I would say more resilience and learning how to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
That I feel like that's a trait that you have to practice. Okay. Is like to work hard. I felt like wrestling practices are a lot harder than judo practices.
Right.
And I think it built up my resilience.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it helped my judo, but it helped my resilience.
Yeah.
For being able to practice hard.
Yeah. That's really cool. I like that you've defined it as working hard is a trait that you have to practice.
Yeah.
Is that something you think that could be developed without wrestling, essentially? So if we've got judoka who are just doing judo, what would be the steps to develop that? Or is there a specific mindset you have to take into training? Or I suppose, what's something that you think we could do to practice that working hard trait?
I think for me, in order for me to work hard, even when I don't have the partners, I always think one more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always thinking like either one more round or one more throw, like within that round.
Mm-hmm.
So always like striving to be able to get that one more is basically learning how to practice harder.
Yeah. Okay, that's really cool. Fast forward 20 something years, you've now got a lot of wins and, you know, national championships under your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us maybe some of your career highlights or moments in judo that you've been proud of?
I wouldn't say that I have a ton of accomplishments. Like, I wish I could say, like, I won this tournament, I win that tournament. It's more that I'm kind of like that person that never really gives up. I've definitely been to a lot more tournaments than I probably should have. But for me, I think moving down a weight class, so I was 63 since I was in high school, and because I skipped 57s, so I went straight to 63 kilos, and now I'm back to 57s, or I went back down to 57s, and this is probably the smallest I've been since high school. So I feel a lot better at this weight class, for sure.
Yeah.
And so my most recent thing I'm proud of is I took fifth in Turkey.
Yeah.
And the Turkish Grand Prix. And that was probably one of my best results that I've had. And it was at 57s.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty exciting. Like, when I first got to 57s, it was so weird. I felt like I was floating around because I was so light. I've never been that light before.
Yeah.
And so when it was Rome,
uh-huh.
A World Cup in Rome this year, I lost first round. And when I went out there, it felt so weird. It felt like I was, like, floating around. Didn't really feel like my body. Like, it was kind of an out-of-body experience. And I just got demolished. Because I just could not figure out my body. It was, like, the weirdest feeling I've ever had.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I hope it's not going to be like this again, you know? And I tried again, and I went to another tournament, and I felt better, like, I felt more comfortable. And each tournament, I've been feeling more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so, Turkey was, like, the best I felt.
Yeah.
And I have China next week, so hopefully I can keep that momentum going.
For sure.
But, obviously, fifth is not a medal. I was, like, super upset. I didn't take the bronze.
But you went from losing first round to taking fifth, so...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So hopefully in China, there's a medal.
Yeah. So I suppose talking about China next week, you've sort of come to Japan in the week before to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not the first time you've been to Japan.
Yeah.
So apart from starting judo in Japan,
mm-hmm.
I sort of understand that you did... you took a break of judo,
mm-hmm.
and then you did 3 months in Japan almost as well, very quickly after you came back
right,
to judo.
Right.
So maybe could you please elaborate a little bit on what that break was about, or like how long the break was, and then what it was like coming back to judo and then going to Japan for the amount of time that you did.
So, basically, I took the break when I was in college. So, I got into University of Washington, and it's a pretty, like, the workload is pretty strenuous.
Yeah.
And I knew that I wouldn't be able to do both judo and the workload there, which I'm, like, amazed that the girls here at the university are, like, fine with being able to, like, do, you know, practice that hard and then also be able to do school at the same time. And so I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But I've been doing judo, like, nonstop since I was, like, six or seven, right? Yeah. And so it was basically a much-needed break. I was so tired of it, you know. I had just had so many pressures as a kid to be able to compete and do well, and going to college was kind of a relief, like, because I was like, oh, I can be a normal person, you know? So in college, that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna party, I'm gonna, like, live like a normal human and not have to compete and, like, make weight and all that, like, every single weekend. So it was really my time to, like, let loose. And so for those 4 years, I didn't step on the mat. I didn't do any judo. But by the end of those 4 years, I was like, man, I kind of miss judo, which was the weirdest feeling because I was so sick of it. I was, like, over it. So by the end of college, I was like, I'm going to start judo again, and we'll see where this goes. And my mom was like, why don't you go to Japan and train for however many, you know, however long? I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. So hold on. Yeah.
At this stage, you'd been back at judo for how long?
Maybe like 6 months or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've already, you know, gotten started again. Obviously, like I was telling you before, that no, when you take a break for that long, you're just feel rusty.
Yeah.
And, like, nothing works. Like, none of your throws are working. Like, your timing is totally off. Like, your feet are off. Like, everything just feels wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I basically went to Japan feeling that way. So I was in Japan for 3 months after that.
3 months. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty long time.
It was, at the time, I was like, 3 months, that's no time, it's whatever, it's fine, it's just like, you know, 3 months of my entire life, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really hard.
Yeah. Was that the first time that you trained in Japan since you were a kid?
Yes. And, you know, I don't even remember really doing judo in Japan as a kid.
Yeah.
So this was, like, really my first time doing judo.
Yeah. who went with you? Did you go by yourself? And
yeah, I went by myself, which is like a huge mistake, especially if you're staying for a really long time. Yeah. You kind of want a buddy with you.
Yeah.
I went for 3 months to Nitaidai. Mm-hmm. And it was really tough. I stayed in the dorms with the girls.
Yeah.
So I think that made it harder. So I couldn't, like, get away, like, get, yeah. you know, create that space. So I was, like, immersed in that culture and judo, like, 24/7 for 3 months. So, yeah.
What was the training schedule like?
Morning training, either lifting or running. Mm-hmm. Depended on the day, and yeah. then nighttime, like, judo. So, yeah, every day.
Yeah, so let's talk about the judo element of it. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty increased workload compared to what you would be used to in the US.
Right.
So how did you cope with that on the judo side of things, as well as this dealing with the fact that your judo sort of felt rusty at the time?
At the time, I kind of just did as much as the other girls did. Like, I didn't do, like, you know, that mentality of one more, like, one more throw, one more round. Yeah. I kind of just, like, you know, went along with the flow, really.
Yeah.
It was really tough, though. I mean, Nitaidai is not as tough as Shukutoku, where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the workload, I would just kind of just grit my teeth and go through it. And then, you yeah. know, after a week or two, you kind of get used to the workload and you kind of just go along with everybody, so.
Yeah. So, for a bit of context, what was your training like in the US before you went?
So, I don't remember back then, but I mean, my workload now mm-hmm. is, I have to go to 3 different clubs in California, Southern California,
yeah.
in order to get my rounds.
Yeah.
So, I go to, on Mondays and Wednesdays, I go to one club, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go to another one, and then Friday, I have to, like, drive up to LA, which is uh-huh. an hour and a half usually, but with traffic it's like almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then during the day I'll do some kind of, like, I'll either lift or do some kind of cardio.
Yeah.
So I am working out twice a day.
Yeah. 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 I can sort of see the commitment that you've got there. You're making a lot of time for judo.
And yeah.
I suppose that's reflected in how you essentially, like, straight up about, like, I'm going to give a quarter of my year mm-hmm. to going to Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in terms of maybe in between training sessions, that first 3 month stint that you did, mm-hmm. What was that like? How did you sort of keep yourself upbeat?
Only because I had to. You know, every day after practice, I would just walk home alone or ride my bike home alone and cry on that bike ride home.
Oh my gosh.
It was really hard because it becomes super lonely.
Yeah.
After a while when you're here alone. Mm-hmm. And you don't have, like, someone talking to you that's, like, friendly. Mm-hmm. At that time at Nitaidai, there weren't a lot of friendly girls. Mm-hmm. It was more like a rivalry, mm-hmm. it seemed like. So they did not really like me, especially the girls, like, that I had to fight every day, were not very friendly.
Yeah.
Which is so different from where we're at right now.
Yeah.
They're so nice here.
Yeah.
And they try to ask questions, they try to get to know you, you know, yeah. which is great. But that time at Nitaidai, it was very, very lonely, and there was only Skype,
yeah.
so I would Skype family at home, like, try to, like, during the day, try to, like, talk to as many people as I could online,
yeah.
so this was after Facebook had already come out, so yeah. so it was very helpful. Like, I can't even imagine back then when you didn't have, you know, Wi-Fi or internet or anything, and you had to, like, bring books or something to get your mind out of wherever you are.
Yeah, yeah. So, after, I suppose, what makes me quite interested is, after that 3 months in Japan, how did you change? Let's start with mentally. What was it? What were you like? Did you feel more resilient, or what was the changes that you noticed in yourself?
I just knew that I just learned basically that in order for me to do well in judo, I have to be happy.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm never going to subject myself to that ever again. So since then, I have not been away from home for that long.
Yeah.
So I guess, I learned more about myself that way.
Yeah.
I know, other than that, I just realized, like, oh, I'm so thankful to be home. Like, I think I appreciated home a lot more after that.
Yeah.
And also the recognition that Japanese judo it's like all about accuracy and how smooth it is. And how they don't need all of the strength that, you know, Americans or Europeans have.
Yeah.
In order to do well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like you said before, the maximum efficiency.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool, cool. And noting that you mentioned before that the girls there had a lot of rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
But for the listeners, training in Japan is not 100% gloomy.
Yeah, this week has been pretty good. The practices have been really long. They're like 3 hours long, and it's basically all randori. So it's everything I was looking for in coming to Japan before my competition, because I would just want to come in, do my rounds, instead of, doing some kind of, weird, drill. You know, I'd rather do all those rounds. And so it was, this week has been really good.
Yeah. So what I sort of hear you saying is that despite that experience you had where it wasn't, the funnest time doing judo, there's still something about Japanese judo or training in Japan that's worth coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Is that... What's the quality difference like when you compare training in Japan to training in the United States?
Definitely, technically. Even the girls that are just 52.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big 57. So even when I go with a small 52, they're still gonna, make me have to work for it.
Yeah, for
sure. Because they know how to move. They know how to, maneuver their body in order for you to get that throw, to get that, technical accuracy.
Yeah.
They don't have to use strength, which is, amazing to me.
Yeah. I've sort of experienced that as well, where I almost feel like the smaller they get, the harder they are to fight because they're so quick.
Yeah.
And, when you're, being thrown around like it's nothing by someone who's 20 kilos lighter than you, you start questioning, do I even know judo?
Yeah. So I'm definitely bigger than these girls.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm stronger than them, but they still give me a hard time.
Yeah.
And I haven't experienced that in the U.S. or in Europe. I'd get out-strengthened in Europe or in the U.S., and that's when I lose.
Yeah.
I'm sure, there's people in Europe and the U.S. that are lighter than me and that could kick my ass, but still being it's, consistent here.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Apart from, training in Japan, where else around the world have you trained?
I've trained in England,
So
Camberley Judo Club.
Yep.
I was there for a good amount of time as well.
Yeah.
And I know that my judo got better there, only because I was happy. Like I said, I have to be happy in order for me to do well in judo.
Yeah.
And so I was happy there, and it was fun, and judo was fun again. So I trained there for a couple months as well.
Yeah.
And lived in that little shack with all the boys.
And so that's interesting again that, your mental state has so much to do with how you perform in the judo.
Yeah.
It's so like almost a direct link.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the experience which I suppose makes you mentally tougher? Or how do you stay positive? Or how do you pick yourself up after a hard session?
I have a problem with this for sure. And I think a lot of people have a problem with this, is like once you get, you know, you're constantly being thrown, it's really, really hard. But you have to focus on the little things that you were able to accomplish.
Yeah.
So if I was going with someone who was just like giving me the hardest time, like at least I'm standing back up and trying my best. Like, yeah, at least I'm standing back up and, like, you know, trying to fight again.
Yeah.
So that's how, like, I feel like a lot of the Japanese girls are here. Even if I, like, throw them, like, 10, 15 times, they still get back and fight, get back up and fight me like they've never been thrown.
Yeah.
So I kind of take that little bit, mm-hmm, and like try to apply it to my practice. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna get back up and gonna be in your face again. Like,
yeah,
that kind of like stubbornness, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I hope you enjoyed listening to part one of that interview with Leilani Akiyama. As I mentioned before, part two will be coming out pretty soon. I'm hoping in about 1 or 2 weeks after this one's released. And look, it only gets better. Leilani is such a great person to talk to, and she has some hilarious stories. So we dive further into what drives her Olympic ambitions, you know, her goals, her funny little self-discipline and mental games trick that she uses to keep herself on track and focused during competitions and training. So make sure to keep a lookout for that. And that will be, again, announced on the Judo Edit Facebook page in about a week or two. If you haven't already, give the Facebook page a like and feel free to share this episode, you know, tell your friends about it. Really appreciate having people from around the world listening to this podcast. So, yeah, thanks, guys, for tuning in, and see you next time.